Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm your host. Episode 342 of the program. Very stoked. Wait, I think it might be 341. Either way, we'll figure it out by the end. Very stoked to have you guys in our world hanging out with us. We very much appreciate you. If you would like to subscribe to our bonus content, please do so. I have a long list of people to thank that are our subscribers. We love you very much. Go to theballerlifestyle.com. There's a link at the top of the page to our Red Circle subscriber stuff that we do there. Also, if you would like to leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS, 8257 is the number. And then you could also send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. We encourage and appreciate your participation. We love you guys. I am joined now, as I am every week, by Ed Daly. Ed, how you doing, buddy?
You'd think after the many times I've done it,
yeah,
I would know better, but I just burned my tongue on some hot tea.
Oh my God. The other day I made a sauce. I made a bolognese sauce, and I kept like testing it to see if it needed anything. Needs more salt, needs more garlic, maybe hit it with just a little bit of spice, maybe some pepper.
That's the cool thing about sauces or chili.
Yeah.
You can keep throwing things in.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, you're like, I can overcome this.
Right. I can counterbalance it. And I must have tasted this sauce, I don't know, five times. And each, like the first time, I'm like, Brian, you are so fucking stupid. Let's let it sit. So I would get the wooden spoon and I would get a little bit of sauce. And then I would, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm watching the Dodger game. Oh my God, oh, what a catch. Bellinger's an athlete. I would get the wooden spoon and I would like set it on the used can of tomatoes next to the pot. And I would let it sit there for a few minutes and I go, oh, now it's not too hot. And then I would take a bite and I'd blow on a little bit. And then, but then I'd take a bite and inside, like I'd bite into the meat and it would fucking burn the roof of my mouth. I burned the roof of my mouth five times to the point where I would have to let the sauce fall out of my mouth into the sink because it was burning my mouth so badly each time. What I like, how dumb can you be?
Yeah, I mean, I have tea like every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, behind the scenes action, that's my thing.
I know.
I drink coffee. I'm a tea drinker.
You're a tea guy.
And I know about what time I can start getting into it after it comes off the kettle, after it's been steeping. I dove in a little early. Now I've got like a raw tongue for the night.
Horrible. What do you do the kettle on the burner? Or are you an electric kettle guy?
No, I do the traditional kettle on the burner, like, you know, the old whistling tea kettle thing. Yeah.
So I was always a kettle because I make coffee every morning, but I do a French press. So I boil water every morning, and I got switched by somebody that was from a tea drinking nation to the electric kettle.
And it goes quick, right?
It doesn't goes no quicker.
Oh, I thought the whole thing was
so
it was
did
quicker.
I. It's not any quicker. I don't maybe I put too much water in it. I don't know. It takes for fucking ever for the
too
water
much
to
water
boil.
Sounds like a bullshit excuse.
It's right. Exactly.
If it's electric, it should be doing it quicker.
It should boil in like 30 seconds. It takes just as long. As the burner would. I might switch back to the burner because the kettle also takes up a bunch of room on the counter, which I don't have a lot of in my current digs.
It feels very old school the old kettle whistling.
It's nice.
I kind of like the whole ritual to it.
It's a nice feeling.
Drink a little Earl Grey.
Yes.
Puts me in the mood.
You put anything in
because,
that tea?
Because I go black, yeah. Like my men.
Yeah.
And especially now because I've been dry for a long time since August 14th.
You haven't
13th, 14th?
You haven't no, wet your months. Pants in
Not
2
once.
Months.
Nope. I haven't touched my pants.
You're not drinking.
Mm-mm.
2 months.
I set a goal. I was especially fat and feeling gross about everything.
Yeah.
On my last vacation, little trip up to Nantucket.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Halloween. That's the next time I'm touching any booze. I haven't had any meat. I haven't had, like, pasta or carbs or anything.
What?
I haven't had anything in 2 full months, and I got another 2.5 weeks to go.
How? So have you leaned out quite a bit?
I have. But I don't weigh myself. Like, I know how clothes fit and shit. But, like, the problem is when I'm at my best,
yeah,
my weight feels like kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a wider build. So,
sure.
Like, I don't get down to 170, no. 165. Like, I don't, you know. So, I'm near my post-30s lows right now.
That's good.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty, and I'm in really good shape because I'm exercising like crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know how people are like, never felt better.
Yeah.
No, I feel no difference.
Feeling old. Well, I'm like at my fattest, but that's actually not true because I weigh like around 200. And similar to you, well, I don't really weigh myself, but I will occasionally like at the gym or something just to like, you know, see where I'm at. And I think like the lowest I could ever be just because of my build is if I lost a bunch of fat, I would probably only ever get down to like 185 because I have my fucking legs are like tree trunks.
Yeah, me too. My ultimate lowest when I was as an adult was I think 188.
Wow,
I was like skinny.
That's pretty lean. Yeah.
So I would guess right now I'm probably, you know, very low 200, like less than 205.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're getting there.
But then again, that's why I'm not weighing myself because like to be, you know, hungry all the time and working out like crazy and then be like, congratulations, you're 206. You feel like a piece of shit.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah. This is pretty sad talking about my diet. But, yeah, it's so fun. What I have are these nighttime teas, and I burn delicious. My fucking tongue like an amateur.
Yes, right.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm. Little, but what do you – so do you, like, watch a lot of Netflix? Like, do you go to bed early?
I've been going to bed early.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did – I was messing around on I'm not a horror movie guy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I started watching It too last night before bed, yeah. And I was like, what am I doing? This is terrifying.
Yeah, that's a shitty movie. Friend of mine or an ex-friend of mine wrote that movie, and it's a real – he was on the show one time.
Yes,
it's a,
he launched his career.
That's right. He's doing very well. We're no longer in contact, but he's doing very well for himself, and I'm very happy for him. But that – and I haven't spoken to him about it, obviously. That movie is a real piece of shit, and I imagine he would agree.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I was watching – so I just turned on HBO, and they had like a Halloween section. I was like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I turned that on, and, you know, my bedtime sort of ritual is I'll watch TV for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. My eyes get tired, and I go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm watching a fucking killer clown like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I can't take that.
Yeah.
Even as a bad movie, it's still terrifying.
Here's one that you should watch then. You got to pay for it, though, I think. So my girlfriend and I went out to sushi with some friends this weekend. Very, very socially distant. Outside, very safe, literally the first meal any of us has had out in months, right? And we're having dinner, and the guy we're having dinner with is like, hey, you got to check out this movie. It's a French movie. It's called Martyrs.
Okay.
Has anybody in this audience seen Martyrs? Apparently, they remade an American version, which isn't as good. Obviously, you got to watch the French version. I think I had to buy it on like
I clicked on a link. I was trying to find something
to Martyrs. You got to buy it, and it is fucking. If you're into like horror. I don't even know how to describe it. It's brutal. It's nuts. And it's in French. And similar to you, we had dinner. We had a few drinks. We came back home. We're sitting here. And my chick throws on. She's like, let's watch that movie they were talking about. And I'm like, okay. And then it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm watching this fucking absolutely terrifying movie. I'm like, how am I supposed to go to sleep? I can't go to sleep after watching this. It's too scary.
I'm happy to check something like that out. I'm not a foreign movie guy because I don't like reading my movies.
I know.
However, I will say one of the better movies I saw in the ballpark of 10 years ago, 8 years ago, movie called A Prophet, was French movie, and it was like a prison movie, and it was a Corsican, it was like a Muslim guy trying to make his way into the, you know, as the bad boy, he's working for the bad boy of the prison. It's pretty badass.
Oh, I love prison movies.
Yeah. And this is a good, really good prison movie. It's called A Prophet. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I think I watched it when it was the old school discs from Netflix.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's streaming somewhere. It's a badass
movie. That's
French.
Yeah. I like foreign films, and the French are pretty, they're gnarly. They're gnarly, gnarly people. And if you want to see a gnarly French movie, check out Martyrs. You're going to be scared. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Let's do some voicemails. Hey, what's going on? How come my thing's not playing? There it is. I didn't push the button hard enough.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are used to shit.
Couple of emails, voicemails. I don't know why I continue to confuse those. Let's jump right in.
Bri Bex. Easy Eduardo. Fancy sauce? Anyhow. You know, guys, I couldn't help but notice the hypocrisy dripping from America in general.
Well, are you new? Did you just move here?
And I know Bri indulges.
Wait, pause it.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to say, hypocrisy? Because politics would be the default.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to say something else. What do you... He's going to talk about foreign interference when we interfere with lots of elections.
I think that's way – no, I don't – I think you're – like that's some like Glenn Greenwald shit right there that you're talking about. I feel like it's going to be something he sees. Here's my guess right here. Manuel, he's a fucking blue collar dude. He's a worker. He's a plumber. He's out there in his fucking plumbing truck. He's fucking blowing out main lines. He's fucking repiping condos. He's doing it all. But he sees the people out in the world. He's going to talk about the hypocrisy of everybody. Well, it's going to be mask related, I'm going to say. He's going to talk about the hypocrisy of people wearing masks, but also discarding their masks on the ground. Because I see a lot of that. I see
so many on the ground.
So many
fucking animals.
I know. Do you? because I'm like, no one litters on purpose. We're post litter, right?
I mean, I've seen it. People just roll down their window and just throw trash out. It's not a frequent thing.
No, it's rare. It's rare. Like,
oh my god! What?
How come the cigarette butt is like the one thing that they'll just freely like flick it like out the like done with this ding, like that's the one thing that no one will ever confront somebody about getting rid of a cigarette butt. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a mask related, the hypocrisy of people wearing masks and then freely discarding their masks in the gutter, and he sees them all over the place.
Okay. On PMS, because our guy Silk Bra and T Rod are colleagues, so to speak. PMS.
What is radio.
He's PMS? Well, he's about to explain. PMS is a local sports talk, very successful local sports talk radio show that I imagine Manuel is a caller to, because he's a caller to every sports talk radio show, as far as I know.
I know what it's going to be. It's going to be defensive about the Lakers winning in the bubble or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could be it. Congratulations to our Lakers. I got to be honest, though. I'm the number one Lakers fan of all time. If you gauge that by the last full game I watched was the last time they won the championship 10 years ago. I didn't have the energy for it. I just didn't care. I watched, you know, like I would have it on. But I didn't
watch, but I'm a Knicks fan. Like, right. I've had the love of the game blown out of me.
Yeah. I mean, I like LeBron. He's amazing. It is kind of a thing. I love LeBron. I've always loved him. He's you know, transcendent athlete. But also and I know this is the age that we're playing in. I'm not complaining. It just kind of like, it's like a kind of mercenary Lakers team.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You have a mercenary team thrown together. Nobody, LeBron's been there, what, 2 years?
2 years, yep.
And the Brow 1 year.
The Brow, mm-hmm.
It feels a little mercenary-ish, which you just don't have the days of Jordan with one team.
Yep,
but
drafted guys.
I don't really know how I feel. I certainly, Jordan tormented because
you hated Jordan.
The Knicks, many years had a top three team in the league.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Many years, and they could never get past Jordan.
Nope.
And so I hated him, but I watched a ton of Jordan. But I love how defensive people get when the question is asked. Well, is LeBron, the GOAT? And people are like, no.
Yeah.
And most of these people, their only reasoning is, well, I was 11 when I watched Jordan do what he did. And I just had a feeling about him that was, you can't compare eras and everything. But I do find it funny how defensive people get that you could possibly touch Jordan, because when Jordan played, we all agreed there would never be another Jordan. It's like, calm down. Yeah. None of this matters. Well, just fucking like go with the argument.
I mean, everything's better now than it was then.
Of course.
You know what? Jordan
tried to like get in the way of LeBron.
Yeah, he just get run over.
40 pieces.
Yeah, he just get run over. I like how like when Charles Barkley's like the 73-9 Warriors could never beat the Bulls. Yeah, they could. They're better.
Shoot the lights out.
Yeah, they just shoot over them. They just shoot. Everything's better now.
We're gonna need you to make another 20 a game because we're not keeping up. None of us can shoot threes.
Right. Yeah. It's just everything's better. Everything's better now than it was before. Like Bill Russell. He's a great player. He won however many titles in a row. But he was 6'9", and he was playing with a bunch of 6'1 white guys that could only go right.
He'd be essentially Jack Haley. He'd be like a rebounder off the bench.
Right. He could, like, he would get zero rebounds against Dwight Howard. Like, it's just different. Like, it's better now. Guys are better. LeBron's the next thing. He's the best thing. You know, eventually there'll be something better than LeBron.
Yeah, I love the thinking about how Babe Ruth would do today.
Oh, come on.
He never faced a black guy. Even a five-man rotation.
Yeah.
He faced like two-man rotations, no middle relievers, no people of color. We're like, oh, well, Bambino. Bambino would have been like a 120 hitter and sent down to the
Warriors. Yeah. How are the curveballs back then? Like, it's and he swung like a big, like, log. Like, you see how slow he swings?
Woefully out of shape.
Yes, he's fat.
Yeah, it would be disgraceful.
They traveled by train. Stop it. Stop it. Get the fuck out of here. Everything's better now than it was. You can't compare eras.
It always gets better.
Right.
Always gets better.
What you, you know, like a modern vehicle. It's like the Ferrari that Magnum drove. Yeah. Was like had less horsepower than my Honda Accord. There's better cars now.
Oh, the iPhone. What is it like 10,000 times the power of the computer that went to the moon?
Yes. When they show that when they're like, this is the supercomputer that took us to the moon, and they're like loading it, they're like unloading it from a truck with a crane, and they're like, this computer had 5 gigabytes of memory. You're like, what? It's the size of a refrigerator.
They need an extra like campus for it.
Yes,
the computer would be in like a completely different building.
Right, it's insane. Stop it. We all got to stop. Okay, let's now. I think you might be onto something. I think you're onto Laker thing.
Show here in LA, but yeah, it kind of struck a nerve with me, and this hits home because it's kind of firsthand deal too. You know, growing up, you know, I'm Mexican American, grew up, and drinking.
I just want to point out that we're 1 minute into the call, and he is not anywhere near making a point.
There's no hypocrisy talk yet.
It's not.
What was he saying about drinking?
I don't know. He's just getting into it, and I had to pause it. He's Mexican-American, drinking, hypocrisy.
He didn't get tats when he was in the gang. That's right. We know that.
We learned that recently. Just tell us, dude. We're here. We're in it.
We're ready.
We want to know. Here we go. He's going to say it right now.
Being around my family, you know. Literally, my uncles and my pops would give us kids a swig of beer from, like, the time we were pretty much able to walk.
Oh, yeah, my parents drank Löwenbräu.
Beer and, you know, alcoholism have been free-flowing in my family. And then I think probably, I'd say, 75% of the Hispanic community's families. So, you know, having a beer with your son, you know, kind of common theme. All-American thing, too. I noticed a lot of my white friends, same thing. Oh, their dad, they have a beer with the son. No big deal. Well, come to find out,
LeBron, what age do you think he's talking about?
I would say, like, high school.
Yeah. I mean, when I was, like, 8, 9 years old, my dad would give me the sip.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
To get a sip.
Oh, yeah.
My boys won't even try it. Like,
yeah.
I stopped years ago, but I used to be like, you want a sip? I'm like, no!
Yeah.
I'll never touch it.
Oh, great. You're lucky. You're lucky.
Keep up the good work, buddy.
Yeah. My daughter hits me up for a sip. My son is 15.
Hmm.
So at his age, like, I was a juvenile delinquent, so I've already gotten a win there. And he like does pretty well in school, and he runs cross country, and he surfs, and he's like, you know, he's a gamer, he's kind of a nerd, he's pretty good. But this COVID thing has kind of helped, because not helped, but kids weren't able to really get together for the whole summer.
Yeah.
So because he's at the age where like the parties are going to be starting, and like, you know, there's going to be those temptations. Haven't had to deal with it yet, but it's coming. And I imagine 2 minutes into the fucking call, that's what Manuel's going for. Let's see if he gets to something.
James smoked a dude with his son for his birthday, and he's 16 or whatever. So I'm not sure.
Is that true?
Who did?
Wait, hold on. He just said LeBron James smoked a dude with his son for his birthday. That's wrong. My I'll have to ask my oh my god, I'm really fucking this up, the timeline, because I try to rewind a little bit. Okay, let's see what he says here.
Son, no big deal. Well, come to find out that LeBron James smoked a dude with his son for his birthday, and maybe he's 16 or whatever, so I'm not sure. To be honest, I don't know the kid's age, but being that LeBron is never going to spend all his money, nor are his kids going to spend his money, nor are his grandkids, great-grandkids, etc. The dude's filthy fucking rich, right? So my whole point is, like, what the fuck does America care or people care that LeBron smoked a dude with his kid?
That's the first I've heard
of it. You
know? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I never heard it.
I guarantee.
Yes, Ed?
I don't care.
No.
I don't care. But at the same time, if you're asking me if I would do that, no. Because it seems like there are enough influences out there. I wouldn't want to be the influence to, like, it's cool if he skirts around dad, like, doesn't, you know, let me see what's going on. And that's kind of how kids discover the world. I don't think dad needs to be pushing the weed on him.
Now, I'm kind of with you also. I occasionally smoke weed, really not that often. And, I'll just say it. My dad came to visit and he was like, hey, he's like, I got this really good weed. You should try it. I got some joints. And I was like, oh no, I'm good. And he's like, I think he thought I was kidding. Cause I think he thinks I smoke a lot more weed than I do. And I don't really smoke weed very often. And I'm not. One of the reasons I don't is I don't feel that social on it. So I don't really want to, like, if I do smoke weed, it'll just be like me and my chick or just, you know, like on vacation or something where it's just like a chill moment. If I feel like I got to talk to somebody, I don't want to be high.
I'm there. For me, it's a unwind at the end of the.
Totally.
It's pretty rare for me, but it's the same thing. I'm not social. It's like, after all of the things that have to be done for the day, including conversations,
I'm the same way. And so, but also, I just don't want to smoke weed with my dad.
Yeah, well, that's fair too. I've never smoked weed with my dad.
Right. And similarly, as a dad, I don't want to smoke weed with my kid.
Right. That's a different element.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume I'll get to the point where I'm drinking with my kids.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll go out for beers with my dad. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't really explain it except for I'd rather he just discover certain things on his own, and I'm not going to be the one who's sharing a joint with my son.
Yeah. Same. But I agree with Manuel. It is a hypocritical thing because of the prohibition of marijuana. It is still sort of this taboo thing.
It's weird that there's any difference in how the law handles any of this, but I just know I'm not going to want to smoke a joint. Like you were saying though, we have a certain, it has nothing to do with the law.
No,
we just don't like certain parts of smoking weed around certain types of people.
Totally. Like, yes.
You know, that's what it's about. Not about the law. Who gives a fuck about weed?
Yeah, I did sort of get caught smoking weed by my kids and I had to like lie about it. Just they could smell. They were gone and they weren't expected to be back for a while. And I had been outside and took a couple puffs off a joint and the smoke, I guess, had blown back in the house.
Well, that smell is pretty noticeable.
It's pretty noticeable, but we live in an era where you smell that all the time. Like, it's pretty
everywhere.
It's pretty normal. Everywhere. It's a pretty normal smell. So my daughter like tried, kind of called me out, and I'm like, oh no, it was the neighbors. She's like, Dad, I know it's okay. I know it's legal. Is it? It really smells like weed in here. And I'm like, oh no, that must have been the neighbors. Totally busted. So I think I agree with Manuel, except I'm not going to do it. Let's see. Let's let him finish. I'm gonna let you finish, Manuel.
Fucking tell you that it wouldn't have been an uproar like it is, and it's kind of a tired act, you know, where it's so bad for a guy to smoke weed with his kid, with his son, you know, who's of age or even a late teen, yet if they drank a beer together, it's just accepted throughout America's heartland. I mean, enough of the damn hypocrisy, America.
I thanks, Manuel. I don't disagree with Manuel.
It's just not for me. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. But I will say, fuck with all that shit about he has so much money and his son and grandchildren can't spend it.
Yeah,
what the fuck does that have to do with
I know. Price
of tea in China.
Who cares?
What are you talking about?
Who cares? I don't get, like, yeah. I don't know what's that. That is a thing that drives me crazy where, and we're, this is something that we're collectively sort of force fed in this world where people with a lot of money are just assumed to be smarter than people with less money.
Right.
And that's absolutely not the case. It's just that some people have more money and some people have less money, and people with more money are not necessarily smarter than people with less money. It's a weird thing that we're just all that's sort of ingrained in society, and it's bullshit and it's fucking stupid.
I'm going to throw around a number I don't entirely know. I think it's around 70% of the wealth in this country is inherited.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
So it's in that ballpark. Like, it's definitely not 30. It's in the ballpark of 70. Maybe it's 2/3. It's in, around there, which tells you that most of the money, most of the rich people didn't earn it. They just had a big cushion to swing for the fences, and maybe they got richer off of it, or they're not really particularly successful, but they have money. But,
yes.
I mean, when you have a big cushion, it's easier to get richer.
Yes. Money makes money.
Of course. So get out of here. I mean, people like to think that it's just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That doesn't really exist in America.
No. Not to the extent that some people think it does.
Right.
Or yes, some people want you to think it does.
There are LeBron James situations of somebody coming from nothing and becoming, you know, crazy wealthy. But for the most part, it's just people who inherited the money.
Yeah. Or even like Jeff Bezos. I think he got like $500,000 or something from his parents.
Right. That helps. Know?
And his wife supported, like, he started the business, and his wife, I think, was a lawyer or something, and she supported him while he started this business. You know, it takes a village.
And as much as we've talked about, he's not really as rich as he said. Trump, the one thing that he did well on some of the properties, New York was in the shitter in the 70s, and he used a lot of money that he inherited to just roll the dice on price with money that was given to him.
Yeah.
And some of those hit big. Like Trump Tower, at least at one point, was a huge winner.
Right.
And a couple other properties in the city, because New York City turned it around.
Yes.
And so the person who got in at the dirt cheap levels, that's how it works.
You got to have that capital to begin with. Like a lot, it doesn't take a genius to go, hey, I'm going to buy a building in New York City, and 20 years from now, it's going to be worth a lot more money.
Right.
You got to have the capital to get in. And it helps to inherit it. Okay, one more voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Drew in Houston. Brian, I was listening to your lament about the mechanical pencil. I
tested that theory today. This mechanical pencil I'm riding with right now is pretty much invincible. And I was writing with a different mechanical pencil at my office today that I brought the lead, the same lead home to fill this pencil. And the other pencil breaks every time I press on it. This one, I'm writing to, look at, squiggling, making shit, pressing just as hard. What the fuck?
You know, I was riding my bike this weekend thinking about it. And I was like, he said he presses hard with a mechanical pencil. Yeah. I don't know of a mechanical pencil that doesn't break.
So
I've always written too hard for it to work.
I am a hard presser. I do everything hard. Like that's just my style. You know, I fucking grind my teeth. I fucking grit. You know, that's why I'll never be a good golfer, is because I fucking swing the club too hard. Just like, I don't know how to do things 70%. I will say that when I write with a mechanical pencil, I definitely press less hard than I would with a pen. But still, they usually break.
Happen to be a mechanical pencil connoisseur.
I was
probably the last.
A lot of connoisseurs on this show.
Class in my high school to ever take drafting, and I fucking loved it. It's nothing more satisfying than drafting using a drafting machine. But I used to own a company that manufactured oil tools, as Houston is wont to do.
Right.
And one of my customers was getting rid of their old mid-century drafting board.
Oh, those are cool.
Drafting machines.
Yeah.
and I asked if I could have one, and they gave it to me, and it is a prized possession. Beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's one for all the old school draftsmen in the crowd. I don't know if there's any of you out there, but it's fucking awesome. Anyway, be good.
Thanks, Drew. My grandfather was a draftsman, as I think I mentioned last.
Yeah, he did. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I respect the love of an old craft.
I have no skill like that whatsoever. I'm an actual mess. I can't draw a picture. I can't. My writing's pretty good, but it's very stylized. It's not so clean. I'm not good like that. Okay, let's do a couple emails, and then we're going to talk about Charlie Brown. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I will say something. The Dodgers are on right now. They're getting smoked by the Braves. Fair enough. This ballpark that they built in Texas, I believe this is where the Rangers play in the...
Oh, they're not playing at the home stadium?
No, they have like bubbles. So like the Dodgers and Braves are playing at the Rangers park. And then I think the World Series is also going to be there. So, and I don't know where the Rays and Yankees are playing, but they're playing somewhere else. So they're kind of doing a bubble, but this stadium is brand new and it looks like what they would build at the state fair for like Lynyrd Skynyrd to play in. And then when they're done, they just throw it away. This place cost $1 billion. And I don't know where the other $978 million went.
Is this a new stadium?
It's brand new.
Is this like,
it's brand new, but it's got like a retractable roof, but the whole thing kind of like looks like an old barn. It just like kind of rolls open and close. It's kind of barn shaped. Dog shit ballpark, and 407 feet to dead center. You want to maybe get some players that want to hit it over the fence? Wait, who's building a fucking pitcher's park in modern times?
Yeah, well, I'll say that they have a lot of problems, but one of the problems the Orioles have had over the years, even when they have good teams,
right,
good offensive teams, they can't get pitchers to pitch there because there are home runs everywhere.
Sandbox. Yep. Yeah. There's
an in-between.
Right. Fine line to be walked. Yeah. People want to see some home runs. Brian and Ed. Oh, look at this. With my Braves making the NLCS, I decided to fly to Dallas to attend game one.
Oh, there's crowd there?
So there is. It's like, I think, limited to like 11,000 people. So,
because I'm looking at empty seats right now in this shot.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like a few people per section.
Okay.
It's not that many people. To attend game one. Oh, that was yesterday. Congratulations. Ticket prices for flights were pretty pricey with the short notice. There was a direct flight on one airline that was 20% of the cost of my normal airline. Well, that's quite a bit cheaper. That was Spirit Airlines. When people lined up, drop my mechanical pencil. When people lined up to board, it looks like a queue to enter a soup kitchen. Jeez, Dean. This part of the trip was so bad for the look. My question to you guys is, will I ever live this down? That is from Dean. P.S. Question for emailer Ben last week, who got goosed by his friend's mom. Good looking or no, please, Dean, please don't take me back into that fantasy. I've just had enough time pass that I'd stop thinking about it. But Ben 906, we would like to know, like, how was your friend's mom that grabbed your bag? I'm going to Austin in a couple weeks. I booked this like 6 months ago. I didn't think there would be an ongoing pandemic. And I was like looking at, because flights were so cheap when I booked it. And I looked and I'm like, dude, I could fly round trip. And also, there's not that many direct flights from where I live to Austin. And I was looking at flights, and it was like something like $70 to fly round trip to Austin. Whoa. On Spirit. It was like ridiculously cheap. And I asked somebody and I'm like, hey, it's just me. It's not like I'm bringing my family. It's not like a super long flight. I don't know if there was a stop. I think there was. I think it was a nonstop because I was only looking at nonstops. And I was like, "What? Can I just take the Spirit airline?" And I asked my sister because she just happened to be nearby at the time. And she's like, no, don't do that. And I go, why? And she goes, trust me, you don't want to do that. And I'm like, they don't like, I'm just going to carry on a bag. And she goes, they're going to charge you to carry on that bag. And I'm like, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, they add charges for everything.
You need to duct tape your clothes to your stomach. Yes. Like you're in Midnight Express.
Or just wear everything. Wear everything you're going to wear the whole weekend.
That'd be amazing.
That's pretty good. I think you're okay, Dean. Like, no one would know you'd flown budget airline. And basically every airline is a budget airline.
You're about to board a Greyhound. Not even Greyhound, like a Peter Pan bus. It feels totally. Like you're about to board a bus.
It's pretty bad.
I've done it once. Yeah. Not good.
I do Southwest, you know, because
Southwest feels like a bus too.
Yeah, it's pretty bus-like, but they have a lot of, you know, they're hubbed. They're not hubbed here, but there's a lot of flights from here. So it's just kind of like a good option. But yeah, I think you're okay, Dean. No, nobody's judging you. This email is titled Episode 341, Cakes on the Low. Ballers, where to start on this episode? First off, no real important person uses black ink. FAA documents were required to be blue ink until 2018 when they first started accepting digital signatures. Is that true?
This is a ridiculous thing written by somebody who's super defensive that they've been using shitty blue ink their whole life.
Hey, I don't know. Hey, the FAA, they might have some weird machines that only read blue ink. I've never heard of anybody requiring blue ink. I've heard of blue or black, or I've heard of only black. I've never heard of only blue.
I know I shouldn't judge people on trivial things, but when I see blue ink, I think less of whoever used it.
I totally agree. Absolutely. 100%. I'm like, does this person have a blue pen? Was it the only pen available? I do like, though, that this emailer has included a link that explains when they did switch from blue to digital signatures.
They probably used old Ditto machines.
Totally, yeah. Mimeographs could only read blue ink or something. See link below. I'm not going to click it. I trust you.
No.
I think we need to hear from the connoisseur about Mr. Defoe. She sounds smoking. Ty Lawson is 100% correct. Huge fan. So there's a lot of stuff. If you haven't listened to last episode, this stuff might not make sense to you. Hashtag Friday Facts. Hashtag Blue Pens. Hashtag Rip Eddie Van Halen, of course. Hashtag Current Episode. Hashtag Penis Connoisseur Sounds Hot. Hashtag Manuel Sucks. That is from CB in South Carolina. Oh, I'm also attaching questions for the upcoming AMA. Oh, I've discussed doing an AMA, and I'm compiling questions for the Brian Beckner one glass of scotch or two. It's getting to that time of year, Ed. You're going to start drinking again pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
I get the seasonal affective disorder where the days start getting shorter and I get bummed out. And like today I was telling somebody and they're like, well, it's fucking 90 degrees. And I go, I know it's hot, but the sun is much lower in the afternoon. And I just start to get this vibe. I don't know if it was like going back to school or maybe I need therapy for this because I know it's not just me. It happens to other people too. I get real bummed out when the days start getting shorter, which means IPAs, means chili. Means yeah. Bread items.
Yeah, give me a few weeks. I'm happy to also conduct a separate.
Oh, okay. Anime. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Definitely. Well, maybe we could combine. Okay. We could combine if the questions aren't specific. We could do our own, like our Proust questionnaire. We could do our own AMAs and combine them, or even post them separately. Okay. Thank you for that. So, for those of you that aren't aware, last week Ed and I. I don't remember how it came up, but Willem Dafoe's penis was discussed, and we were able to find a link to a GIF on Reddit where Willem Dafoe was acting in something. He was dancing around the stage, and it was clearly shot in the 80s, not HD, but very obvious.
Angelus.
Very obvious to both of us that Willem Dafoe is packing a fucking hammer.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
a real meat stick. And I don't know, he references the penis connoisseur here. I don't know if the penis connoisseur is a regular listener. Last time I had to reach out to the connoisseur with the Chris Evans news. I don't know. I haven't, the Willem Dafoe thing wasn't a, didn't just happen. So it didn't occur to me to do that. Maybe if the penis connoisseur hears this, she will take a look at what's going on with Mr. Dafoe and provide a review. And then Ty Lawson is 100% correct. That's where the cakes on the low comes from, right? Because he was talking about how Chinese women have nice asses.
Right.
Yeah. And CB in South Carolina agrees. Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks everybody for reaching out. We love you guys. We love everybody that listens. We also love Matt Grace. That's actually somebody I know. I've known since he was 10 years old. He's a contributor. These are all the current contributors.
Thank you, Matt.
These are all the current contributors to our Red Circle page. Christopher Gear, thank you. Chris Pareda, Ian Bierig, Chris Fiedler, Matthew Marcinek. Sorry, Matt. I'm sure everyone has a hard time with that.
All appreciated.
Yes. DJ Rude, Jessica Dimitrik, Luke Ferguson, Jane Cowan. Oh, I know her too. We used to work out together. Alex Dixon, Dave Meineke, Chris Miner, Chad Emmerich, Ernie Solomon, Chip Welper, Ivan Martin, Maddie LeBront, Sam Watkins, Andrew Weber, Charlie Bailey, Chad Snap, Corey Worrell, Steve Beninga, Jesse Proctor, Chris LaFosse, that's LSU, Lee Peterson, Super Lee, Toby Parker, Kyle Dahl, Chris Westbrook, Terry Mall, Cody Gossett, Melly Konea. You know, Melly D, I heard you on a different show today. I was listening to Greg Fitzsimmons' podcast, and he read an email from Melly Konea. Drew Stanley, Shren Powell, Dean Rosencrantz, Clark Penman, Ryan Azonka Cruz, Ann Manicky, Chad Slayback, Matt Richards, Pete Shalitsky, buddy of ours, Chris Travis, another buddy of ours, Nathan Hendricks, Dave Babonis, Brent Booker, all you guys, thank you so much. We love you guys for contributing. It's really kind of you.
I will have plenty of content to contribute. Brian and I will do some stuff, and I will also contribute some soliloquies I have on some holiday stuff that we might not get to.
Absolutely. Would love to post anything we can for the people that give us the most. Thank you, guys. Okay. We got to talk about. We did the, what's the Christmas Charlie Brown thing called?
I think it's Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, probably.
Yeah, this one.
It's always like a statement to him.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody's always talking about him. Let's get the wiki going for It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. When did this piece of shit come out?
60s, probably?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. Great Pumpkin. Oh, this is in the unseen character in the comic strip, but I don't need the movie. I need the details on the movie. When is The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown on TV in 2020? Who fucking cares? Let's see.
Everybody knows it, though.
Yeah, everybody knows it, but I would like to just give people the details on it. You know, I should have done this before. Hold
66.
On. 66. You got to type in wiki.
66.
Yeah.
October 27th, 1966.
Halloween special, third Peanuts special, second holiday themed special. Following,
oh, it was just called A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be produced by Bill Melendez. One thing I will say about this movie, I don't like jazz, but I don't mind the Vince Guaraldi stuff that they use for these movies.
Agreed. I think that Linus and Lucy classic tune is pretty good.
It's good. And there's actually a Christmas album of this guy's music.
Good?
It's good.
I actually like that album.
Yeah, it is good. I'm not a jazz guy, but this piano flute shit that they did for this, pretty good. It's crazy how starved we were for entertainment as children, that we would look forward to this piece of shit coming on every Halloween.
This thing meant a lot. Like, oh, this is on Thursday night, CBS.
Yep.
I gotta watch this.
Yeah. You had to. It like marked a time. You know, it was like, it's that time of year. It's right. Halloween's next week. That means it's the Great Pumpkin. Yes, Charlie Brown's going to be on.
On TV soon. This is around the time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like next week it'll happen. But yeah, it was a big moment as a child when there wasn't on demand shit.
Yeah, it's a big property probably still. Like it's probably a big deal that they have it to show every year. It's really bad. It's Charlie Brown's such a bummer.
The whole crew, everything about it is weird.
Yeah.
I understand that it's about the kids.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of moments that are screaming for a parent to be involved.
There's no parent. That's the whole thing with these, is the parents, when they do show up, are just disembodied, not even voices, because they don't say actual words. It's a world without parents.
It's a muffled trumpet.
I don't remember. It was in college. I don't remember what the class was. Probably like some kind of print journalism class, where it was explained to me that this Charles Schulz was just this real sort of shitty, depressed guy. And he wrote this strip, and of course he is Charlie Brown, who's a depressed kid, hideous kid, by the way. Like, what's that? Like, he's bald, but he's got like a little bit of hair in the front. What is that supposed to transform to?
It's weird, but I did notice a kid at the soccer practice next to my son tonight that kind of looked like it. I was like, man, that's one ugly kid.
Not a compliment. And then Lucy was based off his ex-wife, which is why.
Well, that explains a lot, What the fuck is up with Lucy Van Pelt?
She's,
the Van Pelts have some serious parenting problems.
I would agree. And then Linus, who this movie's based around, he's also ugly. What is that hairstyle?
Yeah, well, have you seen the when the Today Show did it a few years ago? Al Roker was really disturbing.
Whew. I think Carson Daly, who's pretty ugly, also just normal day Carson Daly, I think he might have been Linus. Ugh. And he just looked hideous also. They don't do women real solid in this strip. The hero is kind of the dog, Snoopy, who's also really today. If you type in today show Charlie, maybe because I've been Googling Charlie Brown stuff, it knows. Oh my God, the Carson Daly.
Nightmare.
Whoa, jeez.
Nothing's worse than the Roker. That's Carson Daly is rough.
Whoa, man, they're both so bad. Well, the ears, they look like aliens because the ears aren't in the right spot on their head.
And Matt Lauer is Lucy, which makes sense because she's kind of the most evil of them all.
Yes, yeah, bossy.
Big Pen, what is that?
The whole point of this, right, is, and they do the kick in the ball thing right away at the beginning, and like, that's on you, Charlie. Like, you know.
Well, he knew because she lied about the whole she had a contract,
right? Yes.
It's like, it wasn't notarized, bitch.
Yes, notarized.
You know, and he at some point he's gonna have to kick her,
right? Like, you should be physically dominant in this situation, and you're little kids. So, like, how long are you going to take it for, Chuck? Maybe light her up. Let her know who's boss.
Well, I was trying to figure out. I think Schulz, and by the way, I read something. Somebody tweeted a letter from Schulz, like, this week, and it was said it was very relevant today. He was essentially talking some Bernie Sanders talking points, like, yeah, you have people working full 40-hour work weeks and can't keep up, where other people aren't doing their share and they're filthy rich. But like, anyway, I was trying to think of where this takes place, because almost like their backyards are a pumpkin patch.
It is kind of weird. They just go walking right outside, and there's thousands of pumpkins growing.
Yeah, and I mean, if that takes place today, there's fencing or at the very least some sort of police tape.
Yeah,
I mean, everything costs money.
Yeah,
and they just walk in, so they either stole from a pumpkin
patch.
That's
a really good point.
And what you would see today, because I went to a pumpkin patch like week and a half ago, you'd see a ton of Trump flags right around there. That any pumpkin patch is right in MAGA country.
Is that the case?
I've only known – so the New York City area, which is what I'm – you know, I am right next to the city.
Right.
You have to go west or northwest to get to any apple orchard or pumpkin patch. And New Jersey is essentially like a suburb of Philly or New York City.
Right.
And then I go up kind of near the shore. That's where the Wall Street people take the boat to.
Yeah.
And then everything else is like MAGA, hardcore MAGA. And like Trump will lose New Jersey by 25 points.
Right.
But that's because most people live in
the cities,
the condensed area.
Yeah.
But everywhere else where there's open orchards in New York State or New Jersey, West Jersey, that's MAGA country.
You here, there's Trump merch stands like on the corner. Like you'll just be driving down the road, and I'm going to tell you right now, these are not permitted. There's no way you can pull a permit to just fucking set up on the sidewalk and distract people driving by and cause traffic. That doesn't exist. Otherwise, people would be selling shit on the fucking corner every day of the year. Yes,
right. But I will say, sometimes it's a real drag, depending on if there's a college football game or there's something. Yeah. I do it every fall. I've been doing it for, you know, since college. I've gone with Michelle and especially with kids.
Yeah.
I like my fair share of apples.
You juggle them. I've seen you juggling them.
Oh, I love
them. Yeah.
But although we just did pumpkin this year because, I don't know, there was some weird
shit. Do you have a favorite kind of apple?
Certainly not Red Delicious.
Of course, not.
I like a handful.
What about Honey Gold? Is that what they're called?
Honey Gold.
Yeah.
Was it Fuji?
Yeah, Fuji's good. Pink Lady.
Pink Lady's pretty good. That's that's the sweeter one.
Yep.
It's Gala. What's the one? One makes a good pie.
Yep. Gala maybe.
Yeah, but. But anyway,
how about hold on? Somebody was talking shit the other day on a Granny Smith, and I get it; they're pretty sour. But
I'm in the right mood, I'm all right. I don't always want the Pink Lady.
You cut that sucker up, and you slather a little peanut butter on those bites.
Oh my goodness, delicious!
So good, so healthy as fuck. You want a healthy snack in the afternoon? Get you some energy before the gym. You get you an apple, slather some peanut butter on that fucking Granny Smith apple. You're having a healthy fucking snack. Delicious. Okay, go on.
But one thing that I do like when I go to these things, apple cider donuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are always good.
Yeah, delicious. Love it.
Big fan.
Do they have like concessions at these things? Because around where I live, everything's fake. So there's not any apple orchards. I mean, there is, but like way away, far away.
No, these are like farms. I mean, New Jersey is joked about because everybody sees the area by New York Airport.
Right.
It's the Garden State. There's tons of farms.
Right. Yeah.
Not where the people aren't.
We get them trucked in. So somebody will set up, they'll pull a permit and they'll set up in a parking lot. And they'll dump a bunch of hay bales in a parking lot and they'll fence it off.
This is like legit, like where Charlie Brown is.
Right. And then
but it's fenced in. Nobody's just giving away free pumpkins.
Oh, no. Then they put the pumpkins out. And a pumpkin goes for a pretty penny these days. You figure you figure you get a big pumpkin for like a couple bucks. They're like a couple bucks a pound.
Yeah, I think we paid in the ballpark of like $15 for each pumpkin.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
maybe even 20. I don't know.
Yes, that's,
you
know, a
you
lot.
Go to this place, you spend a lot. Like, we spent. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
After everything was said and done, probably in the ballpark of $100.
Too much.
Like, for a little bit of food and drink. And yeah, it's not a cheap thing.
No.
But we do it.
Yeah.
And then, so back to Charlie Brown. So Lucy just picks out, I mean, she's got a scowl on her face until Linus finds the biggest pumpkin there. And then she's like, yeah, take that one. She makes him carry it. And then they've got that shitty, it looks like the border wall fence. You know how, like, there's a fence?
Yeah.
And he can't get the pumpkin past.
Yeah.
And he just has to walk around the edge because they haven't built the whole wall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's just mean. She's making him do everything.
Then they're going to carve a pumpkin. They fucking bring it inside and drop it on the living room floor.
Right. Did she even lay down paper?
They put paper down. But it's like, what? Do that outside.
Yeah, or at the very least on, like, a kitchen floor. Yeah.
In the kitchen. Do it in the sink.
And also, I should hope this all takes place like a day or two before Halloween, when that happened, because that shit'll rot quickly. You can't carve a pumpkin and leave it for like a week and change.
No.
It'll just collapse.
You got to do it right before. Yeah, and now, you know, the pumpkins, you can buy those templates.
Yeah, well, that's kind of cheating. I usually just, with one of the pumpkins, I do the Wu-Tang symbol because it's such an easy thing to carve.
Right. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I
the Van Halen this year.
Oh, that's.
I used to draw that on my books and stuff. That was a pretty fun design to make.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. It's pretty creative, actually. You should do that.
Yeah.
I don't normally carve, but my kids have really been, well, just one of them has really been hitting me up this year. We'll see. We'll see what's up. Cause Halloween takes place at my house this year. So Linus, has someone convinced Linus of this great pumpkin?
Well, this goes back to the Van Pelts. Somebody has to step in. Like, yeah. Linus, what are you doing, buddy?
Yep. He seems a little special.
Santa works because it's
everyone believes in it. Yeah.
Everybody's doing this thing.
Yeah.
Great pumpkin. You'd be like, well, Linus, this isn't going to work, buddy.
And also, it's Linus is like kind of a greedy little shit, because while all the kids are out trick or treating, of course, Charlie, because all the neighbors know Charlie's just a little boring asshole, they give him rocks.
And here's where, you know, Charlie deserves it, because if somebody gave me a rock and my friends candy, that rock would be finding a home very quickly.
Right. That's right.
He's just like all bummed out, lugging around rocks.
Carries them with him.
Those upstairs bedroom windows.
Yeah. Just at least wing them at a car or something.
Give me a rock. Yeah. Get out of here.
And then this Linus is like, hey, I need to go hang out in the pumpkin patch for the great pumpkin, because he's going to bring me presents. Well, assuming...
You're like, what?
What kind of special, mythical holiday character requires you to come to him? The Tooth Fairy... The Tooth Fairy puts her shit under your pillow.
That's a child's murderer would say, go hang out in the pumpkin patch.
Yes, Santa Claus, fucking guy comes down your chimney and puts shit under a tree in your house. The Easter Bunny, he drops shit outside.
And you already know Linus is an asshole, because in the first scene where you see Snoopy, he's helping Charlie Brown rake leaves.
Yeah, and then, yes, he rakes up a big pile of leaves.
The first time you see Linus, he just dives in and fucks up Charlie's leaves.
Yep.
Now, the Brown parents are really putting Charlie to work, which my dad used to do that shit to me. It was not fun. I just wanted to dive in the piles, but But they put him to work, and then Linus is going to fuck it up. My friends came, I would have taken that rake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fucking crushed Linus with it.
Shove it up their ass. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
And then Snoopy while I respect somebody laughing at Linus for writing that deranged letter, can Snoopy read?
Right.
What he's reading?
Yeah.
What and also, that's the neighbor's dog.
Kind of weird, too.
In their house?
Did we determine that they're neighbors? The Van Pelts and the Browns are neighbors?
I just assume they're all living in the same kind of area. Same but street. Even not, I mean, do random people's dogs come into your home? Start, like, looming in the kitchen?
And Snoopy must be able to read because he's laughing at Linus. He knows Linus is delusional, and he's a fucking animal.
Right.
He's a beagle, and I mean, he recognizes it.
Dogs can smell things. Animals can smell things. Right. I guess he smells a moron.
Yeah, yeah. And Lucy's even like, look, dude.
She threatens to beat him up.
Yeah, but he kind of needs his ass kicked.
I mean, the easier thing instead of saying, like, oh, with the great pumpkin, I'll pound you. She should have been like, hey, buddy, nobody's giving you presents.
No.
This is Halloween. This is where you go get candy.
Snickers, dude. It's Snickers. It's fucking M&Ms.
And she should be especially motivated because she would have to share her candy if he gets nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, I imagine.
If she had parents that cared about
I imagine Lucy runs a pretty tight ship, though. I imagine if she doesn't want you to get her candy.
Yeah, she's going to give him the Smarties.
That's exactly what I was going to say. She probably goes through the candy, pulls out the Smarties, and goes, hey, I'm going to give you my Smarties. Let's see all those fucking peanut butter cups, because you're probably allergic.
Necco wafers.
Yeah.
Go nuts with the chalk.
Starburst. Like, the
here's
fuck out
candy
of here.
Corn. Here's some Brock's candy corn.
I got a bunch of lemon Starburst for you to have. Give me your good shit.
Yeah. And then he uses his janky blanket to open the mailbox and mail the letter.
Why is the mailbox so high? And how is it like... Dude, it's time to get rid of your security blanket when you're able to use it like a boa constrictor. When it's more effective than Indiana Jones' whip.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like a whip.
Yeah. It's like, dude, it's enough. It's enough already. You're fucking seven, you know? It's time to get rid of the whoopee.
And then, I mean, here's a moment where Charlie, really, a crossroads in life where Charlie finally seemed happy and Lucy just shits on him immediately. He's like, I got invited to the party.
Yeah.
Nah, it was a mistake.
Yeah, there were two lists. Imagine making a list of people that you don't want to invite.
That's Lucy so is fucking mean.
Yeah, she's so mean. It's his ex-wife. Question. Sally is so thirsty for Linus.
She is. How old are they supposed to be?
I think they're like 7 or 8.
I mean, that's pretty young. And the parents, the Browns, are supposed to be like, hey, Sally, you're not following some random weirdo to a pumpkin patch. You're going to go trick-or-treating with your brother.
Yes, you're not just going to linger in a fucking open field
full
of pumpkins that you could. And by the way, you're walking those pumpkin stems. You know, they grow on a vine.
Oh, yeah, when it gets dark, too.
I mean, it's basically like tripwires. It's like a tripwire attached to a 40-pound gourd.
Yeah, you could get impaled.
They don't even have flashlights.
There's no lights?
No.
You're just going by moonlight? You're going to get fucked up.
Also, this is Charles Schultz was, I think, from Minnesota. So, freezing cold.
Like, yeah, by Halloween, that's going to be... it's gonna be a tough night. So they show him freezing late.
He's shivering with his blanket. Lucy has to go rescue his ass and bring him home and put him to bed.
Right. It's troubling.
Couple of the
and also, were you troubled? Maybe this is a regional thing that they all say tricks or treats.
We
said trick or treat.
Of course, of course. No, this isn't like you guys where you're from. You say a lot of fucked up shit. Like, let's go stand online. The new Star Wars is out. Let's go stand online for the new Star Wars. Or baseball tryouts are next week, son. Let's go have a catch.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you guys say it. Where that's a fucked up way to say things.
That's the right way
to
say it.
No, that's a bullshit way.
Have a throw?
Play catch. Let's go play catch.
Play catch?
Play catch.
Well, there's play implies there's more to a game. This is just...
No, the playing is tossing the ball. I'm probably going to get arrested, Ed.
Uh-oh.
Couple days a week. Lately, I haven't been able to make it to the gym. I've been too busy. So I'll go do like a little workout routine over at my local high school where I'll do like a really nice.
Are you like Steve Buscemi where he's like, hey, what's happening, young kids?
Yes.
What's up, fellow kids?
No, it's like, it's not, school's not going on. But there will be like random.
Do you pull up in like an IROC playing like REO Speedwagon?
We're getting there. I'll go there and, you know, there's like lots of people running around the track and stuff, like proper adults like me. And I'll do like a little workout routine where I'll do push ups and I'll do body weight squats and then I'll run a lap and I'll do like five sets. Just to
I live right next to the high school. I go on the track.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the couple times that I've been there, there's been like a few kids like playing like a little 2-on-2. You know, they're probably on the freshman team and they're right. Just like, they're like running patterns, you know, like one guy's rushing. They're playing like a little touch football on the field. And I've lingered around because the thing is that I'm a fucking way better quarterback than these little shits.
So you want to show off your arm to them?
Well, I want to be all-time QB. Because then they could run. They could run for that corner of the end zone because I can get it to them. You know, we could run some plays. I know plays. I could teach them some plays.
A guy like that who hung around.
Don't say it like that.
Well, he didn't have his license. we'd see him riding his bike around town at like 10:30 at night. After we got our license, and it was a real bummer.
No, this is daylight.
Hey, that's the guy who used to want to play wall ball with us. What's going on?
This is daylight, and I haven't invited myself yet.
Yeah, you know what? You're gonna. Hey, who needs a?
I mean,
QB. Stranger danger.
This one kid the other day, he was throwing a real wobbler, Ed. And it was barely reaching the other kid, and the other kid. He needed some lessons on how to juke, you know, like he was just kind of lollygagging his patterns. Like if they had me there to teach him.
Uncle Rico, you're going to start showing me like, hey, I bet I could throw this thing half a mile.
But I could, you know, like I could hit you in stride. Like look over your right shoulder. It's going to be there. Like it's that kind of thing. You think I should try to involve myself in a game here next time I'm over there?
Eli Manning did that at he used to live in Hoboken and he did that a couple of times at the field by me and
sweet.
I was tempted to call the cops on him because fuck the Giants.
Well, also like Eli, if he weren't famous,
think he's the local guy.
Well, you know, like at the end of Goonies. You know, they go down there and they're like in the underground and there's like a ship or something. And there's that one dude that's like didn't develop correctly.
Matuzak.
Right. Eli's like kind of not far off from that.
Right. He's close.
Right.
He's close.
So were he not famous, it'd be a little off putting. Me, I'm just a real cool dude.
Yeah.
with a pubic style mustache. I'll throw my hat on backwards and be like, hey guys, you want to run a button hook?
Definitely skate up to them. Yes. You should definitely skate up.
I'll ride my skateboard. Like, be like, what's up, fellow teens?
So then everyone goes as a ghost. Variations on the ghost, but they all go as ghosts. And I remember I was in a pinch and needed a costume, like my first year out of college.
Yeah.
I had to go to something. I was like, all right, I'll just go buy a cheap sheet. It looks real clannish when you try to do it yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't
work.
No.
I was like, what am I going to do here? So I had to like buy a wig or something because it starts to point up a little bit. It's not good.
No, that is. I mean, these days, you know, there's probably some areas that they'd be okay with. Corey Seager just cut the lead in half with a 3-run home run. Unlikely that the Dodgers will win, but
Charlie Brown fucked up his.
Cut too many. That's what I would do. That's 100% how my ghost costume would come out, because I'm the kind of person that wouldn't be able to get the holes right.
So there's like 20 holes.
Yeah.
You know, there's one character I think it's time to discuss that we makes his appearance in this scene. And is Pigpen homeless?
So that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I feel like Pigpen's neglected. I think we need Sergeant Presbyluski to show up, because we got a Daquan.
Yeah, we got a Dookie.
Yeah, he's Pigpen's real smelly and dirty. His mom
needs to wash his clothes.
Yeah, his mom might be using their food stamps money for Rock. Right. What's his stepdad doing to him? Obviously, Pigpen obviously has a stepdad, and I need to know what's up with that guy.
So you envision, maybe by Valentine's Day, this is Halloween, by Valentine's Day, Pigpen is kind of hanging with Bubbles.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to be collecting tin off the street.
That's right. Scrap metal.
Right. You don't want him going out like Telly from Kids, though, and accidentally getting that hot shot.
That's true.
You know, like, you got to be careful out there on the streets. You got to know who you're hanging with, because now, shit might not work out.
I tweeted this actually today. But maybe the reason everybody hates Charlie Brown is he dressed his dog as one of the Central Powers from World War One.
So, well, I was wondering about this.
Red Baron was on the wrong side of history.
I know. But does Snoopy dress himself?
Well, he can read, so yes. Maybe it was his call. But what the fuck is this guy reading?
It's a really good point.
I mean, what was Charles Schulz up to? Yeah. What?
That is
Central Powers? Yes. They were not
good
guys.
No, those were the bad guys.
They weren't quite the Nazis, but they were close. Mm-hmm. They were bad guys.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting. The only guy that's got anything going, although I do like that Sally comes to her senses and is like, this Linus guy's a fucking loser. Yeah, like, what was I thinking? I spent my whole fucking Halloween in a pumpkin patch where I'm likely to get murdered by some
fucking squid. It's just wasted my night.
Yeah, it's ruined my, you know, you only get so many Halloweens. By the time you're 12 or 13, you're not really doing Halloween like you used to. And this one's gone. This one's wasted. The one guy, the only cool dude, only because Franklin doesn't show up in this one.
Right.
It's my guy Schroeder.
The guy's got something going on. He provides entertainment at the party.
Yeah.
Beautiful mm-hmm. on the keys.
Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of sound out of that little toy piano.
Yeah, he's impressive.
Snoopy's there. He's trying to jack his vibe. Like, Schroeder's there playing. He's like, hey, Sally. He's like, when I'm done here, why don't you bring that ass back to my place? And Sally's like, all right. I'm there.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste your time with fucking Great Pumpkin.
Right.
I am God, I can't even think of what's the word for a great piano. Yeah, prodigy.
Yeah, virtuoso. Prodigy. Yes.
Virtuoso.
And Snoopy is like trying to jack his style by like dancing around on the piano. Around. Yeah, like,
get out of here, Snoopy. Charlie, why are you bringing your fucking dog to our party? Get out of here.
Get out of here.
And I also saw somebody talking about when Charlie Brown gets a rock while they're in one of the houses, people are like, I got a popcorn ball. I got a candy apple. Hey, Charlie, give me your rock. I need to throw it at the fucking house along with the candy apple and the popcorn ball. What is this?
A candy apple? Like, I don't – it's you're guaranteed to break your fucking tooth on a candy apple.
Of course.
Like, I don't
– And also, it's apples huge. Are good enough.
Right.
Halloween is for candy.
Yes.
Apples are apples.
Apples. Apples what your mom puts in your lunch, assuming these guys had fucking moms.
They don't have any. I mean, only Pigpen, we know what the deal is. The rest of them were just wondering.
Absolutely. I will say this, though. Linus, he's a fucking loser. Sally Linus isn't like begging Sally to go out there with him.
That's true. He didn't say, oh, you need to be here with me.
Yeah. Like, as Linus is a loser, I will agree, but it was his thing. He's like, hey, I'm going to go do my thing. You know, I'm getting presents from this fucking mythical whatever out here. And Sally's like, I want to go. I want to be part of that. Then she lights him up and Linus is like, you know, he just takes it like a bitch. But he wasn't like, he didn't lasso her with his fucking blankie, with his whoobs, and be like, come with me. She chose to go with him. And so I sort of identify with Linus being yelled at and blamed for something Sally chose to do of her own free will. I feel like I've been in that situation myself. And it's like, hey, yeah.
And at the same time, when you're like 8, 9 years old, it can prepare you for a lifetime of that's just going to happen.
Yeah.
When you're a guy.
Yes, that's actually a really good point.
You're gonna catch some heat for some shit that you really did not initiate in any way.
Totally. 100%. Like, give him a break.
So, what was there some sort of acid trip in the middle? Like, what?
Yeah.
Was somebody shooting at Snoopy? What? It got all psychedelic.
Yeah,
it was
real weird.
Something got weird.
Yeah, he's piloting the thing. It's. And did we need that? Did that, like, propel the story?
CBS was like, you know, you're 4.5 minutes short.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, these kids are a bummer. We need some shit with the dog and that stupid bird.
Yeah, but he's flying the doghouse and there are bullet holes.
That's kind of weird.
Things got really weird.
Right, yeah. It's World War One.
Yeah, and we're glorifying the wrong side, the central power. It's weird.
Very weird.
Huh. And then Snoopy then had time to go back to the party and bob for apples with Lucy.
Bobbing for apples. I remember one time we did that.
I only knew it from TV shows like Happy Days and places like that. I don't think I've ever done it.
I did it one time. I feel like I was in probably like second grade. And they had like a little like carnival thing at school. Must have been around Halloween. And there was like stations, you know, there's like different things you could do at different places. And one of them was fucking bobbing for apples. And that's where they just put the apples in like a barrel and you can't use your hands. And you're supposed to shove your face in there and grab them with your mouth. What people don't realize is that a lot of these activities come from like Little House on the Prairie times.
Yeah, this isn't real entertainment.
When you're basically just hanging around waiting to know if it's you or one of your 8 siblings that's going to get
smallpox.
Yeah, that's going to not make it through the winter. So it's like, yeah, I guess it's something to pass the time. Most of the time we just fucking churn butter and mend. Like, normally I'd be out in the field helping dad like make the ox pull the fucking thing in the wherever we grow shit. I guess shoving my fucking perfectly dry face and hair into a fucking bucket of water to get a goddamn apple, which is something I don't really want in the first place. I guess that could be an activity.
Yeah. I think, Rob Delaney tweeted today. He was talking about like, the founding fathers. And he's like, founding fathers could smell their balls standing up. Everything was bad back then. They were like smelly, boring lives. There was nothing going on. Only Ben Franklin seemed to be having fun.
Oh yeah, yeah. He liked pussy. I remember one time I read about like what they used to eat back then, and one thing was called like golf salad, and I'm like, oh, they had salads. And no, it was like mushed together like a cottage cheese like substance. With like, I can't remember what was in it, like beets or something. It was just something like, you're like, what is that? They ate that? And they're like, oh yeah, no, that was like a dish, golf salad. What the fuck? I gotta look that up. I'm looking up golf salad. Well, I'll probably get like a lot of golf course salads.
Right.
But
there's nothing resembling something that was made at a golf course.
Right. No. Yeah, it's not. They're not gonna tell
golf
us.
Golf balls would be better to eat than what they were eating.
Right. I probably have the name wrong anyway. This movie's bullshit. I'm glad our kids aren't into it.
Yeah, well, my kids watched it several times.
Really?
They've seen it several, for sure.
What?
But because it's still a thing. The Charlie Brown business is not faded. Even though it's very dated, it's simple. Like, kids still watch it. When you're 8 years old, you don't know.
That's true.
That nobody's got cell phones and stuff. You don't know.
Yeah.
But then, so everybody goes home. Like, Halloween's over. Everybody goes home. And the fucking Van Pelts, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But Linus never comes home. I understand you could say it was a different time. Like, when I was a kid, I was trusted to be – I was out more than my kids are out.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody worried when it was like 11.
That was kind of crazy. Like,
hey, where's your brother?
That is
crazy. Did he just get Mystic Rivered?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I have an app now where I can see – so if I didn't know exactly where my kids were, they wouldn't be allowed out as late as they're allowed out, because I can see exactly where they are on my fucking phone. It's connected to their phones. Right. Back then, there's, hey, mom, I'm going to go spend the, not, no one went looking for him. His sister had, he had passed out in a fucking pumpkin, a gourd field.
And luckily, this is the one time he travels with a blanket, so it works. He was tucked under that blanket because he was freezing his ass off. It must have been 12 degrees in that pumpkin patch.
Yeah, it's Minnesota. Freezing. Horrible. But then
the next day, he and Charlie go to that brick wall where they talk.
Oh, and, right. They got their elbows on that wall. Rolling. Yeah.
Yeah. And Charlie definitely has a point. At the same time, when everybody in town shits on you except for the one guy who's a little bit off,
yeah, that's how you
can't get to, you can't gravity. Say, oh yeah, that's that stupid plan. You can't call his gray pumpkin thing stupid.
That's a really good point.
He's your only friend, buddy. Even gives a shit about you.
That's a really good point. You're both losers.
Yeah, you're both losers. So you're gonna have to, you know, this isn't any port in a storm type situation. You're gonna have to deal with this friendship.
Yeah, there's a reason you guys are hanging out together.
Yeah.
Because no one else, because you're not Schroeder,
right,
or Franklin. You're lucky that Daquan Dookie isn't, he's trying to get some cans of soup together to feed his little brother. Cause mom used the money to give to her dealer.
Who do you think eventually hangs out with Dookie first? Charlie or Linus? Who goes the route of smack?
Linus. Well, Charlie's clinically depressed.
Mm.
Could be Charlie. But I feel like Charlie's just going to be like that nerd in high school that just feels sorry for himself the whole time. And Linus is
real dumb.
He lives with that sister of his. Like, she's pushing him to the edge.
The parents must hate him.
Yeah.
They're cool with him sleeping outside.
Yeah, exactly. So good chance him and Pigpen next Halloween, him and Pigpen get the great smack shot.
Yeah.
Instead of the great
going
pumpkin
trick or treating or going looking for the great pumpkin.
Yeah.
They're going over to handyman's pickup trucks and stealing their supplies when they're up on the ladder.
Right. Yes. So they can recycle the copper.
They're going to take their ladder while the handyman's up on the roof.
Right.
And be like, all right, let's take his shit.
Working on scams. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
That was pretty fun. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Don't watch it.
It'll be on soon.
For sure. For Ed Daily, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been, I think it's 341, episode 341 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast.
CBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stu, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.
And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.